Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 12, 2014. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 1, and we are at page 9 in the last paragraph. Today's readers are Michelle H., Deb W., and Penny C. The reference number for Tuesday, November 11th, is 7025. That's 7025. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy S. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. And thank you, Katie, for your service, and good morning, everyone. This is Nancy S. from Wisconsin, recovering compulsive overeater. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass and thank you for this service.
Thank you. I will now ask AJN to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is AJN, newly recovered in Ohio. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 9, the last paragraph. I ask Michelle H. to begin reading.
Good morning, KDF. This is Michelle H. Good morning to all grateful recovered compulsive overeater. He had come to pass his experience along to me, if I cared to have it. I was shocked, but interested. Certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. He talked for hours. Childhood memories rose before me. I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on still Sundays, way over there on the hillside. There was that proffered temperance pledge I never signed. My grandfather's good-natured contempt of such church folk and their doings. His insistence that the spheres really had their music, but his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen. His fearlessness as he spoke of these things just before he died. These recollections welled up from the past. They made me swallow hard. That wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again. And here Bill is reminiscing. He's listening to Abby. Abby is talking for hours, and he sees Abby has changed before him. The sentence before says, it worked. He sees that this simple religious idea and practical program worked for Abby. And so he's seeing that he's coming to share it with him. And he's feeling hopeless. He's not feeling forced upon. He's seeing that Abby is just bringing to share it if he wants it. And he said he felt hopeless. He felt he had to be. So in the next paragraph, I get the sense that he's really listening. He's really opening up his mind for the first time, maybe just a little bit, just to hear if something has worked for someone else. Maybe it could work for him, but only in that state of hopelessness was I willing to be able to open my mind just a little bit to hear what someone was telling me and carrying the message to me. But only when I was in that state of hopelessness, when I had seen something in that person who was recovered, something that told me it was working for them. And then it's interesting that at the end, he is feeling a spiritual stirring inside of him. He's recalling some of the church folk. He's recalling his past religious experience, and then he's recalling a spiritual experience in the old Winchester Cathedral, where he felt, at the beginning of his story, that he felt much moved. He felt a spiritual stirring is what I was relating to. And I was remembering back to the spiritual stirring that I felt, this sense that something different, something spiritual, something not tangible, I couldn't put my finger on it, was happening. as a recovered person was talking to me when I was finally hopeless enough and ready to listen and open my mind just a wee bit to hear what they were saying. And it was that sense of hopelessness and desperateness that I saw that they were there really sharing out of love. And I, too, was spiritually stirred by what was in them, even though I didn't know what it was. And so that's what this paragraph and how I relate to it in my experience. Of course, there's more to come. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, who would like to share on this paragraph? Kim?
This is Bella. Can I share?
Fuji. Okay, Kim, Bella, Larry, and Suji. Thank you, Kim. Go ahead.
Good ears, Katie. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. I was shocked but interested. Certainly, I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. You know, I know for myself, my personal experience is step two was really misunderstood. You know, I really thought that step two was having to have a belief in God. So I went two ways. One is I grew up in religious school, so I can skip step two. Or the other one was I overanalyzed step two. And what I would do is I did a lot of, and this is my personal experience, I did a lot of exercises about trying to find God, writing a help wanted ad for God, listing the characteristics of God, waiting to believe, all these different things. And really all step two is right here, that he was interested because he was hopeless. All step two is a need for God. A need for God. And what is the preface to that? Is complete deflation, which is how it was described in the six tenets. It is my hopelessness, my powerlessness, my inability to manage my own life that has me thinking, okay, I need something outside of myself. Now, how am I going to get to belief? I get to belief by doing the steps. Step two is I need a power. Step 11 is I have conscious contact with that power. So how do I get from point A, the need, to point B, the conscious contact? I do the steps in between. So I wasted a lot of time trying to work step two, and all step two is a conclusion. His conclusion is he's interested because he's hopeless. So I think of it like myself. I have no sense of direction at all, no sense of direction. And when GPSs came out, it was the greatest gift to me. And when I got a GPS, I put in the address and I follow what it says. I didn't feel a need to call the manufacturer to find out who was the engineer who developed it. I didn't need to know where the satellites were up in the air. I didn't need to know the inner workings of the GPS. All I knew was I had a need for the GPS, and that need propelled me to get that GPS, to use that GPS, and once the GPS was working for me, once I could get from point A to point B, then I had a belief in the GPS. So my personal experience is, how did I do step two? I had a belief that I was screwed. Oh, crap, I'm screwed. I have an allergy to the body that will never change, and an obsession of mine will always convince me to eat. And I didn't really believe this would work for me, these steps, but I believed it worked in those recovered people. I believed the people who told me they were once like me and are no longer there. And that belief was enough to do step two and propel me to make a decision to do the rest of the work. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Bella, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bella, and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. They made me swallow hard. Yes, I can understand this feeling because this is where I was. Yes, before the program, I didn't want to remember my past. I didn't want to talk about my past. It was a horrible time, and it was a time and things that I was blamed and judged, or I blamed and judged others. Yes, my past was, I was connected to my power, to my ego. I didn't want to see how many mistakes I did, how stupid I was. No, I didn't want to talk about my past. I wanted all my life to open a new page, to leave the future, a wonderful future. I was feared to leave the present. No more. Thank you, God, that I am now in the program and I am not connected anymore to my ego, to my power. Yes, I accept and admit that I am powerless. I am a happy human and I am powerless. Yes, today I am a fear-free person about my past. I learned to look at my past with different eyes, with a different attitude, and today I am taking my past as an experience to live better my present, to be able to have a goal for a happier future. Today I learned to live fear-free for my past, and I learned to use it as a time to grow. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. And Larry, it's your turn.
Good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Thanks for your service. So, he had come to pass along his experience to me, if I cared to have it. And, that comes from a level of desperation, if one cares to have it. I don't know about you, but I didn't come here, come to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous to have a spiritual awakening. I was fat. I was miserable. I couldn't live my life. The level of unmanageability was beyond. I was crawling out of my skin, when I got here. And I was interested. Certainly, I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. Yeah, I could totally identify in with what Bill is relating to us here. So then, Abby talks for hours, and while he's talking, childhood memories rose. So, for me, like Bill, I had to concede that I didn't know what I didn't know. And even for me, though, my educational interests, had led me down a long path of, scientific exploration. So for the most part, if something didn't exist, unless I could quantify it and prove it according to what Larry thought he knew, it was difficult for me to grasp anything there. But nonetheless, I couldn't deny that there was always this glimmer of spiritual hunger, that kind of resided in me. And so here, Abby's talking for hours and he talks, I could almost hear the sound of the preacher's voice as I sat on a still Sunday way over there on the hillside. He's reflecting back, and it's important that when I first read this, I thought, well, where's the good stuff? Let me get to the action stuff here, But over time, I came to believe over time, and it didn't happen overnight for me. My spiritual awakening and was of the educational variety, as it talks about, and a lot of people experience that. But when he talks about that he had to swallow hard, I can relate a little bit that he was talking about his his grandfather and how he was kind of, closed off to all these things, And, basically his fearlessness as he spoke of these things just before he died. Well, that's what made Bill swallow hard. In my life, my parents, what I recall, was they were similar to that, It was, no one's going to tell me what to believe. How dare you tell me what to believe? There's pride. And what I learned in this program is, and what Bill seemed to learn, is we had to pocket our pride. And because this was an ego deflation process whereby I was more open to what was to come. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. Saved my life. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry. Sue G., your turn. Sue G., please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, it's Sue G., sorry about that.
Okay.
Today I am grateful to be recovered just for today in southeastern Pennsylvania in the greater city of sisterly and brotherly love. And this reading, this is coming into the dawn from the darkness of that bottomless pit where he is totally in that alcohol was my master state a few pages ago. And now what really strikes me here is his grandfather description, that the whole thing sitting there still on Sundays way over there on the hillside, the preferred temperance pledge I never signed, my grandfather's good-natured contempt of some church folk, some, and their doing, his insistence the spheres really had their music, there was faith there of some sort, but his denial of the preacher's right to tell him how he must listen, that he can decide for himself. His fearlessness, as he spoke of these things just before he died, fearless, fearless, searching and fearless moral inventory, that these recollections welled up from the past. Now, we're not on step 4 yet. We're around step 2 here. But what strikes me is the God of our understanding, that the source of this, at least a very powerful source of this in Bill's background, was his grandfather, who believed that you could have a God of your own understanding, that nobody else was going to tell you what that God was, that you could choose what meant something to you. And to me, I just connect and resonate with this because Bill was somebody who suffered a great deal, as I did in my childhood, from loss. His parents left him, and then he was with his grandparents who raised him, and he really loved and adored his grandfather, but that was slow in coming. It was coming as part of his growing up, and here he is back in touch with this. And that's very much my experience in recovery. So for me, step 2, once I came to OA and said, okay, incomplete acceptance of powerlessness, not accepting powerlessness over food, help OA. And I came in and I did my step 1 as well as I possibly could, which is the crucial point here, that's a step we really must try to do in some way that really works for us. And when I did this, step 2 just flowed naturally. There was nothing to it, and it really did connect me to my past and to the truthfulness in the past. The truthfulness was not that his grandfather was perfect and that his grandfather was God. It was that his grandfather had a way of coping with developing hope and belief. And that it happened on his deathbed that he's sharing this is amazing. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. Who else would like to share on this?
This is Deborah.
Fabia.
Renata.
And Vasa.
Okay. Okay, I have Deb, Renata, Rabia, and Vasa.
Hi. My name's Deborah. I wanted to share yesterday, just to go back a bit, if I could, on Abby and how he approached Bill. I was touched by the fact that Abby was in conscious contact with God. And it was in that conscious contact with God that directed Abby to call Bill. And I just am so grateful. I mean, it says the most important thing about our program is not so much the abstinence recovery, is our conscious contact with God. And when we are in that conscious contact, no, God, our higher power, he directed Abby to go to Bill. Why did he decide to go that morning when Bill was so desperate? Abby, from what we can see, there was no relationship with him over the years. But that is one of the best aspects of the program, is that God does direct our path. He does bring us into lives of other people who need recovery. And I just wanted to put that out there. It's just an amazing piece of this whole thing. He showed up on a day that was the perfect day. And when we're in conscious contact with God, he will guide us and he will show us the next right thing to do. So thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Renata, you're next.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. He had come to pass his experience along to me. What experience? You know, the experience Abby had was the spiritual program, right? The practical spiritual program. I cared to have it. I was shocked, but interested. Certainly, I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. So what it says to me here is when I'm hopeless, when I can't put aside my old ideas, when I can see that everything I've tried has failed, I become open to the new. You know, Abby was talking to Bill, and Bill saw, you know, that he was sober, that he was doing something different. So even though he had his old ideas, he's becoming willing to put his old beliefs aside and try something new, you know, to embark on this practical program of action. I need to be open. I need to be willing. I need to be out of ideas. I have to know in my heart that everything else that I've tried did not work. And that's all I want to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Renata. Rabia, your turn.
Good morning, fellow visionaries. This is Rabia. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. And just let me take a second, because I'm listening to all the beautiful shares. Let me remember what I wanted to say. Okay, I was hopeless. And I want to speak to the people on the line this morning who are hopeless and who have the gift of desperation, because you are desperate or you wouldn't be on this live line at 7 a.m. or 6 or 5 or even 4 a.m. if you live on the West Coast. God bless you all. And so here we are, hopeless. And so let us be your guide. You already have G-O-D, the gift of desperation, and so you're on this line, and with this group of drunks, let us be your group of drunks, your group of recovered compulsive overeaters who, through good orderly direction, you know, I learned all these things. Here's another guide. Through good orderly direction, we have allowed ourselves to be led from steps 2 through 11, as Kim said so beautifully. We've done the work, and now we're living in steps 10 and 11 and 12, and we have a neutrality with food. And so now in step 12, I must work with a new protege. I must begin this new book of study with somebody else. You saved my life by allowing me to be your big book guide and take you through the steps. And God bless me. I have a new protege, and she's on the line this morning, and today is her third day of abstinence, and today we crack open this big book. And I love the first page of it. It just says Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a totally blank page. So I say the set-aside prayer, God, please set aside everything I think I know about this big book, and let me have a new experience with this new protege as we go through this study of the big book again. And she's saving my life, because I have a disease of a mental obsession, and already my food is, you know, I'm nowhere near my alcoholic foods, thank God. However, my eating behaviors, you know, my come up, and I've been eating more than what my body needs, and I feel it, you know, and my disease will take me right back in if I don't pay attention, if I don't work with the new protege, if I don't stay active in this program. I'm so grateful to know exactly what I need to do every day. For the recovery, I have one day at a time. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, Vasa.
Thank you. I'm here. Thank you. Good morning, Vision, for you and Vasa. And I'm recovered compulsive overeater and I'm calling from Florida right now. I get confused where I am. But anyways, so good to be at this meeting this morning. And Abby is still sharing his experience and strength with Bill. I remember the person that walked through my kitchen door without even calling me, knocked on the door and came in. I just believed God sent her. She was God's messenger to me that introduced me to my OA program. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I was interested. I was on step one. I was powerless. I was hopeless. I was everything. The food had me by the throat. So for me, it was live or die. Listen or continue going like you are going, Vasa. So I chose to stop trying to do it by myself, try to put food down for 25 years of my life. I tried it many, many, many times, but I failed many, many, many times. And I came to the point that I could not do it by my will, by my own strength and by my own power. And that is step one. And I did grow up in a communist country for 15 years of my life. And I grew up in a very religious home also. So I had my mind was twisted. When I was at home, I'll hear all about religion. When I went to school, there's no God. People lost a lot of jobs because if they went to church, of the, you know, teachers and stuff, and they had, you know, they wanted to believe in God, but they were forbidden, and when they got married, the priest had to go at nighttime, in the middle of the night, sneak in the house and marry them or have their child christened, you know. So I grew up with double messages. There is God and there isn't. And I kind of wanted to stick with my friends to believe what my teachers were telling me or my friends. So there was a lot of confusion in that area. But I was ready. I was ready and I was interested to hear the message that the big book has laid in front of us. What a gift. For me, you know, I came to believe, or maybe I was agnostic, or maybe there were times I didn't believe. I needed to touch and see to believe, and I didn't do that, but I still came to believe that I was ready and willing and looking to have a power greater than myself because I couldn't do it by myself. What a gift from God. And I was so desperate at that time. And I can do the same thing now with other people, you know, like what Abby is doing with Bill and what Bill was doing with other alcoholics and what I saw the people that were doing in OA and what I'm doing, and I'm going to give it away. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Okay, well, I'll ask Jeff W. to please read the next paragraph.
Hi, this is Deb W., recovered compulsive eater in Oklahoma. I'm assuming you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. Few people really are, for that means blind faith in the strange proposition that this universe originated in a cipher and aimlessly rushes nowhere. My intellectual heroes, the chemists, the astronomers, even the evolutionists, suggested vast laws and forces at work. Despite contrary indications, I had little doubt that a mighty purpose and rhythm underlay it all. How could there be so much of precise and immutable law and no intelligence? I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation, but that was as far as I had gone. And I go back to this first sentence. It says, I'd always believed in a power greater than myself. And, you know, I can identify with that. I always knew, it reminds me of that little girl, Debbie, in the basement of my home as a child, maybe 10, maybe younger, who, sang the songs that I heard in church. And I sang them and sang them and sang them to somebody alone. And then something felt different. You know, it reminds me of a presence that always feels like exists, that feels like it's there. But, I go back down to these words that say, despite contrary indications. And, you know, I didn't live my life looking for anything other than dependence on myself. And I was raised to believe that I can do anything if I put my mind to it. So I took responsibility for everything that happened in my life, and not knowing how to access this power or how that the power even applied to me. I would hear the good sermons at my church and know that God is a great thing and has great purpose. But I could never figure out how to get close to this power. And it's in my disease that that this door has opened, because this sentence says, I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time or limitations. And the no limitations is where it applied to me, is that I have a problem, and this power can do what I could not do, you know, no matter how I tried, and no matter how I applied all the beliefs that I am in control, and I have, you know, I can control my destiny. And I tried many, many diets, and I tried, you know, all kinds of things to get rid of this problem. I didn't know that this is a spiritual problem, that it was never meant for me to go a lifetime without accessing anything other than my own will and my own power. It opened the door to the possibility of accessing that power through the dilemma that I have, and using that power in all areas of my life. And so, you know, the problem, the dilemma that I have, is that despite contrary indications, that I don't know this personal God, I don't know how to, use this power. But this is what the big book teaches us. It teaches us how to access it, you know. The step one is that I have to admit that I can't do this. I can't do this. And then two, that there is a power that can. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to understand it all. I just have to be willing and open. That is the door, is the open and willingness to access this power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Deb W. Who would like to share?
Carolyn from New York. Anna. Anna. Carolyn from New York.
Anna. Carolyn. And then I can't, is it Dana?
Anna.
Lauren S. from Pittsburgh.
Leah.
And Judy from South Jersey.
Anna H.
Okay, I have Carolyn, Anna, Hannah, Leah, Lauren from Pittsburgh, and Judy. Is that right?
Yes.
You got it.
Get a prize. Okay. Okay, Carolyn, you're first.
Okay, this is Carolyn from New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, good, because sometimes it automatically mutes. Yeah, I'm thinking of from the Big Book when it says, inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental concept or idea of God. And it definitely existed in me. I always knew there had to be some sort of rhythm or purpose to this world. Otherwise, it just made no sense. But the idea of a personal God who cared about every individual on this planet made no sense to me either because, you know, why did bad things happen? And there was a certain amount of intellectual pride as well. You know, I forget who it was that said, you know, but religion is the opiate of the masses, right? So it's a way to keep people in line while they're alive with the hope of or promise of something later, right? So I wasn't going to be a sucker for that. But, you know, the reality was that I was in a desert of uncertainty and loneliness. But, you know, here, Ebby is expressing the fact that we can choose our own conception. I didn't have to be stuck with, you know, the judging, punishing God that I was taught to believe in. I never believed, but that I was told was who held sway over the universe. I could write a job description for the higher power I needed, which was, you know, a loving, forgiving, all-encompassing God who had no limitations, who never judged or punished, and if there was no hell to go and ride around it in flames, that made no sense. And why do bad things happen? I've decided or I realized I don't know, and I will never know because while I'm alive, because I am limited by the veil of humanity. And I do hope someday when I join my Creator to understand better. But for now, I choose to believe in a loving God, and nothing happens in God's world by mistake, so there is a plan, even when it's not the plan I would have chosen. So what a wonderful idea, choose your own conception of God. And I'm so grateful to Ebby and to Overeaters Anonymous for giving me that gift and allowing me today to have a personal loving God in my life. Thank you, and I pass.
Good morning. Okay. This is Anna.
Yes,
hi.
Good job, Anna.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. This is Anna H. calling from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered for today. The concept of religion and spirituality is, I always smile whenever I hear newcomers come in and or have sponsees that have trouble with it because it's something that, when I came in as a compulsive overeater, I had a concept of a power greater than me, and I had this concept of God, and it was the concept of God that I grew up with. I grew up Catholic and had a very clear concept of what I thought God was and what I thought God's role was in my life and how it applied to me being a compulsive overeater. And the concept was that if I was good, I got good things. If I was lucky, if I behaved well and did good things, I might get through life okay. But if I was bad or had bad thoughts or didn't behave, you know, in the best manner, that then things that happened to me that weren't of my liking, then of course I deserved them. And that was the concept that I had. And so I really had to, I had a sponsor that had me rewrite it, like just flip it on its head and rewrite the concept and choose a God of my own understanding. I love when it talks about atheism and that we believe in, if we're atheists, we believe that the world originated out of a cipher and hurls aimlessly forward into nothingness. I love that because the truth is I've never met an atheist who didn't believe in science or who didn't believe in the cycles that are created within the universe. And so I have a friend, in fact, that we have these discussions and I remind him all the time. I'm like, but you don't not believe in anything. You believe in science. And the truth is that we can control science. We can manipulate it and control it to a degree, but it always bites us in the ass. So we don't really control it. So, but the cycles and the way that things are lined up are in a natural way. And it is for the perpetuation of life. So even that, for me, is a sign that there's something greater than us at play. And for me, on a daily basis, you know, I have a strong concept now of my higher power. I call my higher power Big Daddy, and sometimes Big Mama if I need more feminine energy visualization. But I really meditate and ask in all things for help, and I feel like that's always given to me, and it's given to me through meditation, through it's like I get visualization sometimes, and sometimes I just get words through my sponsor, or when I'm reading and flip open the big book, it flips open right to what I need to read, or someone else through another fellow speaks to me and says something directly to what I need, you know, or in my giving service to someone else also, like to sponsees or to another fellow, I get answers, you know, and it's certainly far greater than me. And the other thing is I always, oh, thank you. Okay. So just to wrap up, there's always something. There's something we can touch on greater than us. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. And now I have Hannah. Hannah, press star 1 to unmute. Okay, well, Leah.
Hi, Katie. Good morning. Thanks for your service. Good morning, everybody. It's Leah, recovered compulsive overeater. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. I had often pondered these things. I was not an atheist. And then, of course, at the bottom, but that was as far as I had gone. You know, thank God, you know, Bill was an alcoholic and he, you know, struggled in this way and can relate this. I mean, you know, an atheist is one who says there is no God. You know, Bill says here he always had believed. But an agnostic is one who believes there's a God but acts like he disbelieves there's a God. And, you know, that's exactly what his experience was. You know, he might have, you know, intellectually perhaps believed in a God, but he was standing on his own 2 feet. Bill was running his own show. Bill was ruling his own destiny. Bill never turned to God for help. You know, and he got the same help from God that the atheist gets from God, which is nothing, which is nothing. You know, and, you know, I can identify in with Bill's story here in that I guess perhaps, you know, as a kid I believed there was some cosmic puppeteer, you know, arranging all the puppets on the stage. But I had no knowledge of God because I never tried to use God in my life. I ran my own show. I mean, I certainly was brought up in a very intellectual household, one of self-sufficiency and self-reliance. So I never utilized God in my life. I ran my own show. I ruled my own destiny. I made my own decisions. And, you know, my life was filled with madness and mayhem due to this illness. You know, so I had to, just like Bill, I had to reconsider or die. You know, and when this text taught me that I had an allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, and I was not going to be able to, you know, conquer the obsession of the mind left to my own devices, resources, willpower, knowledge, that, you know, what was my problem? I had to be clear about the problem, and the text told me what my problem was. Lack of power was my dilemma. I mean, Bill sees that he is powerless over this alcoholism. So, you know, we have a spiritual malady. And, you know, the big book teaches us that, you know, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. And malady means illness. I had a spiritual illness. I had an illness. I had a spiritual misunderstanding. I mean, I grew physically through my life. I grew education, you know, academically in my life. I, you know, grew and had some maturation in those areas, but I had no spiritual development, and I needed another understanding. And this identification process allowed me to see that Bill, too, had to reconsider or die. He did not have to understand. You know, when we decide to believe in God or be open to it, we don't have to have any concrete evidence and no particular feeling about it. It can be very obscure and empty. We make a decision without any knowledge or evidence or certainty or feeling. We just know that our life depends upon it. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. And I believe it was Chana. Is it Chana who I missed? If not, let's go on to Lauren S.
I'm here. Okay. Hi, Lauren S. from Pittsburgh. I'm a compulsive overeater. And what I have to share is, I think Bill is guided when he writes this text, and he's a very careful, like, usage of words. And I think he's trying to appeal to maybe 90% of people, maybe, well, you could perhaps say 100% of people who walk into the room. Which is, we really do believe in something, like a fellow shared before. We really do have, we're not truly in our core with the belief that, you know, the universe is created out of nothing, atoms mean nothing, rainbows mean nothing, even our addiction means nothing. We really, there's something missing with us, you know? It's like, we were born to those three dimensions, and I forget what they are now, to feel, to be in the physical body, and to think, perhaps. And we're just not awakened to that fourth dimension, which is really that there's just something out there I can't control, you know? The universe isn't Lauren. And I think that Bill is trying to reach as many people as he can in these words, which is, you know, we really are atheists. We really do. And for me, I believed in myself. So thank you for sharing and for allowing me to share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Lauren. And our last share will be Judy.
Good morning. My name is Judy. I'm from South Jersey, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Religion was always a very, very important part of my life, but I always was heavy, fat, and I tried everything. And in fact, I'm working step two right now with my sponsor, but I couldn't get it through my head that my overeating was a disease. I had it in my mind that it was willpower. And I kept trying and trying and trying, diet, pills, everything. And it wasn't willpower. And when I came into the program, I realized it was like with my life. I mean, the people, the meetings, everything. I realized that it wasn't me, you know, that I did have a disease, and that God could help me. And you know, every day now, I try to get on this phone meeting. I read, I write. I'm trying, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. And we have one more minute, so I'm going to take a minute and share. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater in Central Virginia. I had always believed in a power greater than myself. And that's exactly where I was. And so, you know, by the time I hit my bottom, I thought there's nothing because I believed in a higher power and it just wasn't helping me. So I really had lost hope that this would ever work. And that's exactly where I needed to be because there was always a part of me that was in the mix. And I had to completely surrender and believe that God not only cared and was a spirit of the universe, but he cared about my individual existence and my individual inability to put down the food and keep it down. So this is a great place to be if you don't think that there that there's a solution for you. Trust me, there is, because I had tried this over and over and over again, thinking that, you know, I just would surrender. I put up my hands in meetings. You know, I just thought, okay, I surrender, but I really hadn't. And so that faith and belief came as a gift from God. And with that, I'll pass. And we will now, I want to thank everyone who has shared. We will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by Serenity Prayer. Will Penny C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Penny, please press star 1 to unmute.
I thought I was talking.
Yeah.
Good morning. It is Penny C., a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.